Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I love that last video. It's an invitation put to picture of the heart of the Father. And some of you had your eyes closed. Sometime, Google Josh Baldwin. Is that his name? Into the wild and feel the draw of the Father calling you in back to your innocence. Back to before corruption entered your soul. At the moment of conception where Jesus' fingerprint is on you. That's called redemption. And that's for every one of us. And I know in here... you know, many of us have been taught to grow up. You know, and in some way we need to, but not in this religious way where it puts boundaries and rules and regulations that we must follow that we'll never measure up to. And that's why we need our Savior. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to connect us to the kingdom of God, which is actually inside of us. And so the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He leads and guides us into all truth. And he's always kind. And sometimes the enemy tries to trick us and say stuff that's not from God. And so right now, I break every word that's been spoke over your lives, over your family's lives, over your children's lives, your grandchildren's lives, and I put it under the blood of Jesus. It's not true. You're made in the image of Jesus Christ. You're made in his image. I want you to see his image because that's you. You know, one time we had an immersion meeting. And for those of you who don't know what that is, you will soon. It's coming. And is it tonight? It's tonight. It's called an immersion meeting. And what that is we just soak. And the English word or the English picture I can give you is you're, and this is cheesy, cheap English word, okay? But this is how some people can relate or understand. It's like you're the tea bag. And you're being steeped in his presence. And the longer you stay in, the deeper the steep. And it's not just for tonight. It's from the day that you make a decision to seek him. But there's something about immersions that, you know, so much happens. And so anyway, Holly was at the keyboard one night. I was at the sound, I think, or off in the corner, either one. And she released a word. And the one thing I want to encourage you, this is a key. Whenever a word of the Spirit is released, take it. Take it. Oftentimes, as a seer, I'll see words being released, and people are like... and they're missing food from heaven that is full of nutrients that is going to explode inside of you and bring life. And so this one night, pretty much every immersion, I'll take that, Lord. I'll take that too, Lord. I'll take that, Lord. And here's the thing. With the kingdom of God, there's always enough and there's more. And when you place a draw on him, it only increases for more draw. That the teaching about seed, time, and harvest is not just about finances. It's about everything. Everything. So this one night, you know, God's releasing healing, and I'll take that. I don't know the exact word, but I can tell you what happened. I remember Holly at the keyboard, and she said, you know, somebody's going to see their true identity for the very first time. They're going to look into the mirror of heaven. And I thought, I'll take that. You know, I'm a seer, but I'll take that. And it wasn't too many days later, I was in prayer in... I was asking the Lord a question, which was not about anything that was about to happen. I like to ask him questions when I see things that are not working in my life. Like, why is this happening? What, you know, teach me about this. See, I talk to him like he's real because he is. He's not something in a box on a shelf or on a cross that you just worship. He's my best friend. And I'm praying for connections for people to really know him, because your life will be changed. And it's a journey. And if you know him, I'm praying for increase of revelation and lordship to him, because he created you in his image for his good pleasure, but you're a vessel on the earth that he wants to pour through. That's good news. So anyway, I'm in a prayer. I'm praying about something. I'm asking him a question. It might have been about finances, because I love learning about how the kingdom of God operates. And I am very blessed, but I'll ask about a scripture. What about rivers? You know, what about in your belly it shall be flowing, overflowing? What? Tell me about that, you know? And so I'll be asking him questions about scriptures. And then all of a sudden, I'm resting in him, and boom, there I am. I'm on the mountain of God. And I'm looking down, and the Lord says to me, I had two encounters on this one time. He said, speak, all this is yours. And he showed me. And he made me point my finger out and speak. And I'm at this top of the mountain with the Lord. And so I was like undone because I was speaking. And then a little while later, I'm in a room in heaven. And there's this beautiful garment that's way too big. And these angels put this garment on me. And I'm thinking, this thing is so big, it looks funny. But I was just like, okay. And I felt like a little kid dressed up in my mom's clothes. And I walked past this mirror in heaven. And for those of you who know me, I don't ever look in the mirror in the natural. I just don't care. You know, I'm one of those people. I just don't care. I wouldn't even know what you're wearing today. I don't care. I don't know what color your hair is. I don't care. That's the way I'm designed. And so, but in the spirit, I know who you are. And that's what I look at. And you are wonderful. You are. And so I look in the mirror, and all of a sudden I look, and I see the most beautiful image. I had no blemish, no wrinkle. I was pure love, and I was like almost surprised. But yet I knew. And as I looked, I could see the love of Jesus in my eyes. I could see, I knew everything, and it was the most wonderful experience that I had. And when I came back to earth, I was sitting in my chair. When I came back, I was like, I'm like, more questions. What about the garment that's too big? Help me grow into that. How do you grow into that? I don't want to trip in a garment that is too big. What about the shoes? Are they too big, too small? Ooh, the Lord's talking. Some of you you have the wrong shoes on. You know, this morning, I only brought one pair of dress socks because I'm only wearing them 2 hours, okay? I was pretty ripped when I got back to my room and I took them off and I could only find one. And I'm like, I'm really good at finding things. And I'm like, I can't find my shoe. And I can hear him laughing, giggling about it. And I'm like, so I put my shoes on without socks. And I'm like, no. And I'm like, because it wasn't the comfortable fit. It was the wrong fit without socks. And so I saw my sandals, and I knew the Lord wanted me to wear sandals today. Now, why didn't he just say, put your sandals on? I think an angel hid my sock. I really do. And see, that's part of the supernatural. I expect to have fun in the kingdom of God. You know, I think of all the things and all the ways, you know, we have angels assigned to us. And I don't worship angels, but I thank them when I notice that they've done something. One time I was helping my daughter paint, and it was she had a condo, and the Lord, you know, helped her with that. And there were these long steps that led down the steps, and I'm on a ladder painting, and I trip. No, I wasn't on a ladder. I tripped in the cloth of the drop cloth, and I start going down these steps. Now, three people saw this. Midair, I get pushed back onto the platform. I start laughing. I go, did you guys see that? Yeah. And they're like, we did. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, angels. You know that scripture where, you know, the angels watch our feet so we don't trip over rocks? Come on. That stuff is not just in a book. It's in the living book. It's alive and it's full of power and it's for us. It's the sword. And so some of you are in here thinking, you know, I need a healing. I need a miracle. I'm a mess. Well, listen, stop looking at your problems. You need to focus on the kingdom of God. Amen. I love that picture of the last video because it brings the simplicity of, we don't have to work it out. It's already been worked out. We just have to fix our gaze on Jesus. We just have to align ourselves in his kingdom. And how do you do that? No one's answering me. Okay. Holy Spirit, help. Listen. Everything has been given to us. Everything. And God is raising us up. He's like airing the tire, trying to get us to come into who we are in position. Meanwhile, the enemy's bomb, 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 bomb. And where you look is where you go. And how I use the analogy of, if you're a little kid on a bicycle, everybody remembers that. You're on a little bicycle, and all of a sudden that barking dog starts to chase you. And you may pedal a little faster. But then eventually you're going to look behind to see how close that dog is. And when you look behind, you lose momentum and you turn. And that is a scheme of the enemy. It's a picture to help us stay tuned. And you know what I do? Lord, help, help, help me, Jesus. It's not some, you know, long prayer. It's help. Lord, help me. And he helps me. And if I miss it and forget to say help me, he still helps me. Yeah. And let's just say my flesh overtakes and I enter fear. Have you ever had that happen? And then you crash and burn and you're dealing with all this stuff. And then the Lord always says to me, where were you before this happened? It's not to punish me. It's so I can realign my focus on the kingdom of God and the purpose and the destiny and the path that he has for me and for you. And so some of you right now, I feel in the room, I can hear, where were you before this happened? Some of you are crashed in the field. You know, you're chasing doctor's reports, trying to figure it out in your own. You're Googling online right now, not this moment, but how to cure yourself. I want to remind you who the great physician is. You know, I didn't know anything about the Word of God when I said the sinner's prayer, which was completely different than when I met Jesus. And what I mean by that is, you know, I got witnessed to in a community church, and I just didn't want to go to hell. I knew my lifestyle, and I didn't want to go to hell, so I took that salvation prayer as a get-out-of-hell card. And I still lived like the devil, and I still hung out in the devil's camp for years and was clueless to the walk of the Spirit and the kingdom of God and his promises. But one day, come on, we all have that one day. But one day, I met him. And when you meet him, you're never the same, because you come out of the corrupt world because you know he knows your name. And you pursue him, but he's already been pursuing you. And it's this great love chase that happens. But there's really no chasing. But it feels like that because it's the excitement. You remember when you fell in love? It's pure and perfect. There is no hardship in the love of Jesus because he is incorruptible. And so some of you have had problems with, you know, you feel like Jesus has hurt you or let you down. I want to tell you the truth. That's a demon whispering in your ear, trying to get your focus off the Word of God and what God said about the situation. Now, how you win is you say, devil, get out. You have no authority over what you think you have authority over. My Bible says, and then you repeat the word, what the word says. It's a sword. The Word of God is a sword. It's a spirit of truth, and it will lead and guide you in all truth all the time. When people err, it's because they come under the law, the do's and the don'ts. Listen, it's all by grace. It's not by works. I come from a works performance lifestyle, workaholic, okay? There was a lot of deliverance that had to take place. There was a lot of mindsets that had to be renounced and then speak truth of what God's word says. You know that scripture that says labor to enter his rest? Blink, blink, blink. I had no clue what that meant. Labor I got. Forget the rest, let's labor. I'm missing the goodness of God. And here's the part about labor to enter his rest. It's you labor, you crucify your flesh. Not the stuff, the list. You say, listen, flesh, shut up. I'm going to sit and rest in the presence of the Lord right now. I'm going to just sit. And for some of you, it'll be like, where's my fix? I need my stimulus. I need to be... But you can train your flesh by the grace of God. You call on his grace. Lord, you know I'm a wreck. You know I've never done this before, but help me. I want to feel your peace. Teach me the walk of the Spirit. Teach me how to sit at your feet. Teach me how to call back my thoughts when they go away. You know, I used to love and sit. I used to lay and hang out and just, you know, and then I'd fall asleep. I'd be thinking I'm praying, and next thing you know, I'm out. And I'd be like, man, I blew it. Performance. Oh, I blew it again. Performance. You know what the Lord said to me? It's better to rest in me and fall asleep than do the list. I'm like, you're right. So the enemy was trying to beat me up. But one day, I entered his rest. See, I saw this the other day when I was praying for the retreat. I saw a blind person, and it represents most of the body of Christ. And I saw them doing this. And they're trying to find their way. But see, they're trying. And then one day, enter the narrow doorway. One day, they found their way. And when they did, you know, I once was blind, but now I see. Wow! See, because one day, and that, you know, Holly talks about it as flipping the switch. One day, it's for all of us. We were born to know the kingdom of God because we house the kingdom of God. So if we're housing the kingdom of God and we're not seeing the kingdom of God or resting in the kingdom of God, it's like you've got a room that you've never been to. And some of us are busy building additions, but they've never been to the place that holds the frame of the house. And so they're eating the plastic, drinking the... drinking the drink, but it's the wrong well. See, God's well is always flowing. It's powerful, and that's where you get transformation. You know, some of us drink coffee in the morning, we need a little jolt. No, no, no. That's plastic. There's jolts in heaven that you can go for days and be undone in his presence. And nobody knows. You just are. You know, you don't have to be weird about it and tweak. But although it may happen. And if it's him, hallelujah. You know, he may be breaking off vanity or, you know, I don't know. But God's not in a box. He never was. And he's calling us from every place back into his presence. And I see people leaving their lists and running. You know, I'm going. You know, it's like the dinner bell, you know. We talk about the dinner bell of salvation. Well, what about the dinner bell of drinking from his well? You know, I love salvation because that's the start point, but it's not the end point. That's like... I'm in, but I'm not eating, I'm not drinking, you know, I'm not, and when you go in, tap, 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 and you see his goodness, you never, it wrecks you for anything, this thing is buzzing, anything that is natural, and you start to recognize the counterfeit, hallelujah, Meanwhile, all around us, distractions are being sent from the enemy because that's his job. But you can grow accustomed to ignoring that stuff if you keep your eyes on Jesus. And it's a training of your spiritual muscles. You know, many of you work out. Well, not too many. Okay. I'm kidding. One of you works out. No, I'm kidding. I'm messing with you. But it's like exercise. And here's the thing. You can hear it from somebody else. This is what I do, and this is how God ministers to me. This is, you know, this is what I know that works. Listen, he has a plan for you, and it's tailored specifically. There's no mimicking or counterfeiting or duplication. It's all pure all the time. He designed you. He made you. He designed you. He put you together, all the cells, all that stuff. He put it together, okay? So if there's an area, and there's probably more than one, that you're not free in, he knows the answer. But what most people do is they run to the latest, greatest, anointed person. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. The best prayer is, Lord, help me. When it's just you and him. Because what happens if one day all the great people are not around and you're desperately in need of prayer? I remember a long time ago, Holly spoke this word and it went right in me. You know, I love when it's by the Holy Spirit. And the word was, she was talking about in China, all the persecution and how they have to know by the Holy Spirit where the meetings are. And back then when I heard that was many years ago, and I didn't really understand anything about persecution because I was just, you know, a casual Christian who occasionally went to church to get a feel-good message when I felt like it. And then I'd critique the message because I thought they should have done better. Or why did they do it that way? Lots of repenting. But anyway, Holly releases this word about we really need to know. And I'm paraphrasing it because that's the cool thing about God. When you hear a word of God, it is your filter that you can hear from. You know, if I was a PhD, blah, 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 it would be more blah, blah, blah. But to me, it's more like, come here. He doesn't say, thus saith the Lord to me too often, you know, but he does. But he speaks my language. He knows my name. He knows my frame. And so anyway, I'm in this meeting, and when there's an area that we need correction in, there's usually a ding, 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 or a deflect, like, not me. And either one is alarm time. So, because usually the enemy tries to, oh, that's not you, that's your neighbor, don't worry about that, you know. But no, it's me, it's me. And so this one night, Holly releases this word that there may come a day where we need to know the voice of the Holy Spirit so well that it can lead us if we need to go somewhere or if we need to get out of a place or whatever. And I remember thinking, I'm so reliant on my telephone and my friends for their wisdom, I need to know the Holy Ghost. And I was acting and saying the lingo, that church lingo, but not living truth. There's a lot of that. So I made that prayer, Lord, you got to teach me. I am so sorry. I've been relying on people to meet my needs. You're my provider. Teach me how that works. Show me what that means. And so as I had to close doors because, you know, I'm used to yakking on the phone for 2 hours with so-and-so and blabbing my whole life story. Well, I chose to go to Jesus and blab my whole story to him. It took a while to realign into the truth, but it happens. When you set your course with him and his wisdom on how to do it, it always works. And so as I was learning how to recalculate the past decisions and let stuff go, when I started to lean on him and not my own understanding, whoa, this thing called trust rose up. You know, I come from the streets. You got my back, I got your back. How do you have that with an invisible God? I had struggle with that. And it wasn't once, twice. It was years of working that out. That was deep in my soul realm. But here I am again, Lord. You got to help me. I blew it again. I blew it again. I ran to man. I know you're good, but help me. And here's how it worked for me. I would just come back and say, I don't know how to do this, but I know it's right. Will you help me? I'm calling on your grace. Will you teach me this? And slowly, things started to change. And I'll never forget the night I was sitting on a couch. I was talking to the Lord about something. And he said to me, oh, I know what it was. I had this word for somebody, and it was a heavy word, and it was a word that couldn't be shared with anybody else. The Lord wanted to minister to somebody who was in trouble, but it was high profile and could cause a lot of problems. And so he chose me. And so I waited, got the word, and then went and spoke in love to this person. And when it was over, I just went back and I was sitting and hanging out, and the Lord said to me, you know, I trust you. And I remember thinking, was there ever a problem with that? But what happened was he was really sowing a seed. He tricks me often. He was trying to get me to see that I didn't trust him. And I'm like, you're right. You trust me, but I don't trust you. Oh, my Lord, I'm so sorry. And it took one sentence of repentance and one word of truth. I'm going to choose to trust you in all ways, all the time. I don't care what it looks like. I am going to choose to trust you. And just by that act of faith and then obedience, I walk in his blessings. And I've had so many situations where things look so bad, but I choose not to believe the so bad looking thing, and I choose to believe, and this takes training and lots of practice, and you'll get that because you live in the world, where I actually had to choose to believe that God is good and I can trust him and he's always good. And I see in the body of Christ that many people are stuck here. You know, they get stuck because what happens when you don't trust the Lord is there's a wall. But he didn't put it there. You put it there. And there's this thing called free will. And God will never go past your wall because you put it there. And he respects your decisions. He won't agree with them, but he'll respect you. And so those walls then later build, 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 addition, addition, addition. And they create problems. And God didn't create these problems, but some of our decisions did. And what I love about God is it only takes, Holly spoke this last night, it takes 1 second to come back into the center of God's will. We don't have to crawl fast, you know, burn stuff. We just say, Lord, I am so sorry. I blew it, and I didn't even know I blew it. Will you help me? If we had a pay for promotion in the kingdom of God, I'm just going to say this, because there's a lot of places that do that. I've never spoke on this before. You guys are interesting group in here. If we have to pay for position, you're in the wrong place. That's counterfeit. Everything's been poured out at the cross for us, purchased already by your Father through his Son for us. I see him sharpening in here right now. You know, I'm seeing people make decisions. I see in the dust blow of years years of covering up. Today's the day of freedom in here for you. Every day is, but right now is the moment I'll take that. I don't just do it because I said it, but I am reminding you, because we need to train the muscle, the spiritual muscles. And as you grow in this, sometimes the trials get bigger. But it's not to test us, it's to show us how big God is. We tend to put a limit of, oh, this is the biggest trial ever. Is it bigger than the cross? The enemy loves to isolate. Think about how the animal kingdom works, you know. They always go after the weak. There's a lot of isolation, even in this room. And I'm not talking social distancing. I'm talking the hurts and the burdens from the years. Shame. Right now, I command that cloak of shame to loosen. 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 I see the life of God going in that area. And it's uncomfortable. It's like a cool breeze breathing life. His light is coming into the dark area where that cloak of shame is sitting. Sometimes when God's ministering, he'll do it slow. Sometimes it's fast. Right now it's slow. That's why it's important to always speak what the Lord is saying. Me, I'd like to just rip that thing off, but he's doing it slow. He's loosening the bands. I'm not looking at you. I know you think I am. I'm not. Some of you are like, she's looking at me. No, I'm not. But God always is. Because he's got this thing called, you can do it. You're my girl. You're my boy. You're made in my image. Come on, you can do it. And it's not like I'm going to work it out. It's just repositioning. You're right, I can do it. I can do all things through you. You strengthen me. I see the Lord touching minds right now. Somebody in here, more than one, has struggled with images that you've seen that you didn't want to see, and it's tormented you. And right now, I command that tormenting spirit to leave, loose off you, and go, and never touch another blood-washed believer. I see the Lord touching your mind, and I hear the words reformatting. I have seen the Lord heal minds of people who have been addicted to pornography, addicted to heroin. I've seen the Lord touch and heal because he always is healing. It doesn't matter. He doesn't measure, oh, this one's too big. No, in his eyes, it's all the same. Healing is healing. And so if you struggle or if you have struggled with images that flash before your brain, right now, I release you from that tormenting spirit. And I command the peace of God to take place and root in. I'm here in the number three. I'm just waiting on the Lord. I don't know what it's about. You know, the Father's so gentle. When he heals, he never calls you out for embarrassment or shame. Oftentimes it's done so quietly and so sweet and gentle. And you just know that he just did something. And so right now, I know there's three people that have struggled because of abuse against their body, violations. And it's tormented you, and you've tried your best to just keep moving on. Right now, I break the effects of that abuse off your mind, your body, your soul, your tissues, your muscles. And I release you. I see the Lord healing with such gentle, this white substance. He's just releasing this substance in to those areas. And I see him just holding and loving and comforting. And as he's doing that, I see him pulling out these strings of heartache, accusation. For these three, you were blamed for this violation. And the Father says it was not your fault. Right now, I put those lies under the blood of Jesus. And I release you. I release you from those lies. I see Jesus blowing life into you. And as he's blowing this life into you, I see resurrection power coming forth. And I hear dry bones live again. He's so gentle. He's so wonderful. He's so kind. We love you, Lord. Spirit of addiction, loose. Go. I see some people in here were crying out. Repetitive, addictive behavior patterns. Break and go in the name of Jesus. Wholeness come. Wholeness come. Right now, I pray for the marriages in this room. I pray that the love of God starts to manifest in your marriage. I see wedges and nails that people have pounded in with their words. And right now, I command those to come out in the name of Jesus. I see the words that were spoken by family members, extended family members, of judgment over your marriages. Should have never, could have never. What were they thinking? I break those words right now, and I put them under the blood of the Lamb, and I speak life over your marriages, life over your relationship with your family members. I see twists and turns and divisions and separations. And there will be separations as Jesus continues to come. We're going to see the hearts of man. Right now, I pray for our hearts to be strengthened. And I pray for the nutrients of heaven to equip us, to help us stand and not run, but stand boldly in his presence, and speak a word, his word, in season. I see the enemy, I'm going back to marriages, he's making me go back there. I see the enemy has caused division because of false expectations. Those are always fun, aren't they? I got corrected yesterday. False expectations, they will trip us every time. They're like a stairway that keeps moving, you know, and you're bound to trip because it's never going to be where it's supposed to be. False expectations will always cause us to stumble. And if you do not have peace in your heart, chances are you have a false expectation. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit right now to show us any false expectations that we have. And you'll get a flash. You might see a picture. You might hear a still small voice. And then if you get a picture or a flash or hear the still small voice, just repent. Oh, I'm so sorry. I really was expecting that. And you're right. I have no opinion in this matter. Your word says that they're blessed and highly favored. I'm seeing a spin. And it's like a spiral. And what I'm seeing is false expectation. False expectation. Like a stairway of false expectations. And you're trying to climb out. But you're trying to climb out in your flesh. And it's not going to work. It's a work of the Spirit. And so my prayer would be, Lord, I don't even know what this lady's talking about, but I think that's me. Will you help me? And he will. And the really great thing is, it never happens when you think it will happen. It always happens when he sees you're ready to be able to see what he's trying to get you to see. That's why oftentimes, you know, you ask the Lord a question, and you don't hear, and then you're brushing your teeth, and all of a sudden, there it is. He didn't hold that. It's you finally were able to tune in or let go of this, and you're in. Sometimes, when the Lord... Yeah, you have an encounter with the Lord, and it's like, oh my gosh, that was like, thank you, Jesus. Life. And then the next day, you're like, I'm going back, I'm going to have some more of that. And you set the same chair in the same place, and, you know, the Bible in the same scripture reference, and, you know, the ambient light just in the, you know, and it's like, he's predictably unpredictable because he's always moving and always full of life. And he doesn't serve leftovers. There is always fresh food in heaven. And he's equipping us. There's such an openness for anybody, whosoever will call on his name. There's war on the left, war on the right, but the kingdom of God is stable. And if you can find your entrance into the kingdom of God, that door never locks. Once you find your way, you're in. Now, you can renounce, but I don't believe anybody will do that. And that door will close. But you think about the prodigal son. That's a picture for all of us. You know, how often, I was hanging out with the Lord this morning, and he was talking to me about the prodigal son. You know, we always think, oh, it's the backslidden. Well, what about yesterday? How was your day yesterday, old prodigal one? He's always got his arms open, always looking for us to come in fellowship with him. And there's never condemnation. And so if you are feeling pressure, I used to live this way, pressure That's not of God. There is a place of rest that he has called us to. And it'll take a battle to find it. And you know why it takes a battle? Because the devil doesn't want you to find it. Because that's where the power, the resurrection power is. That's where life is. That's where the food from heaven is. That's where the spirit of wisdom and revelation is. That's where the healings come from. That's where everything is. That's where I am is. So that's why there's such a battle. Now, Holly has taught. I'm so blessed that I was able to, you know, you probably don't even know my story. You know, how I found Edgar and Holly many years ago, I got tricked by God. You know, my sister, I went to church, okay? I was the only one that went to church. And I didn't go all the time. You know, I just went. If the weather was perfect or not perfect, you know, at all. You know, if I had enough sleep or if I didn't, you know. It's funny who he'll use. The simple, you know. So anyway, I forgot where I was going. Oh, when I met Holly and Edgar. How that happened was my sister was very worried about one of her friends who got turned on to Jesus. And she had a spirit of boldness on her. And so she started saying stuff to all her friends that were living in the earth realm, not very godly, and it was causing conviction. So they thought she was in a cult. And so they're like, we need to talk to you because you're the religious one. What do you think about this stuff? And so I'm like, okay. And I look at it, and the document was so deep. I'm like, I don't know, but John Mayer will know, you know, because he was the spiritual guy I knew. He read the word. I never read the word. And so I took the documents to Mary and John's, and I don't even remember what, because I don't care about stuff like that. But I gave it to him, and I don't even remember what he said about it. But in there was this book, and it was called Divine Revelation of Hell. And by Mary T. Baxter. And I picked up that book and I opened it up just to see if our dear friend was in a cult. And what happened to me, first of all, I never read books. I couldn't put the book down. I'm like, that's what I see. That's what's going on. Oh, I'm not crazy. I'm not nuts. And so I'm not going to go too deep into that, but what ended up happening was, I'm like, it's not a cult, but it was the wrong place. So I was thinking it was the place that is no longer around, but I ended up going to Edgar and Holly services, which was completely different than where this material came from. So God tricks me, and I go, and I know nothing about healing. I know nothing about relationship. I know nothing about nothing except for I can get a good cup of coffee before the church service at a regular church, you know? And maybe some pastries afterwards. Oh, no. Because I want to feel good. It's all about me. Ooh, conviction. So anyway, I go to their service, and I meet Jesus. Amen. And I'm undone. I didn't know he was real. I thought, this is my doctrine, my old doctrine. When you die, you may or may not make it to heaven, depending on what Guido had to say, you know. Pay. You know, because I had this weird doctrine. And when I met him, he's real. There's any doctrine like that will fall to the ground because you're face to face with the living king. And I was undone. And I'll never forget that night. When you fall in love, you never fall out of love with Jesus. You can't. Now, your love can wane by the busyness of the world. And I've had to course correct. So what ended up happening is I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Shaka boom. See, I had faith as a child. I was so hungry for his presence, because I was searching all my life for him, but didn't know it. And I was tricked by the counterfeits of drugs, alcoholism, New Age junk, certain churches, religion, tricked in. And see, that stuff is designed to hook and hold. Well, what does that represent? The enemy. When I met him, I knew everything was fake. Everything was plastic. And my whole life, you know, I built an empire. I had all these houses and doing great. And I realized it was all rubbish. All I wanted was him. Now, I had this thing. I still had that a spirit of addiction at that time. What happened was I got addicted on him. I couldn't get enough of him. And what happened was the Holy Spirit, he knows your love language. Well, mine was the best buzz you could ever get. And that's the counterfeit. The counterfeit buzz only lasts for an eighth of a second. That good part, you know, when you first do it, that feeling, it's only for a split second, and then you chase it the rest of your life. Cheap plastic. Well, when he dripped inside of me, I became alive. Every cell in my body came alive. And I couldn't get enough. So I would go to those services and drink from the well of his glory. I didn't know how to house him at home yet. I didn't understand all that. But I'd keep going. And now, meanwhile, every obstacle along the way is flaring up. Because, remember, when you find it, you know. And so I'm flat tires along the way, kids' fevers, I mean, burning potholders, all kinds of crazy stuff would happen, fight with the husband, to prevent me from going into the meeting. But God put inside of me a contending spirit, and I didn't care. I would climb over any mountain to meet with him. It was something that he did inside me. When you connect with him, you cannot let it go. You just can't. And I, if you're searching all your life and then you find it, it's like, wow. So what happened in my case is, well, I have to be honest. I started chasing after the presence. The goosebumps, the manifestations, the feel-goods. And then one day, my sweet Jesus said to me, "You're a glory junkie." Now, my flesh was like, "Not me." But if he knows the hair on my head, he knows the thoughts in my mind. And I said, "You're right. I'm sorry." He corrected me like a gentle father. And when he corrected me, I made a decision. I said, "Lord, you're right. I am so sorry. I am never going to chase after your glory or any of this stuff. I'm going after you. And I don't even know what that means, and I don't know what it looks like, but I am going to pursue you all my life." And at that, I said, "I don't care if I never go back to a meeting again." And I meant it. And what he did was he corrected me from becoming one of those fat spirit heads with no frame of the word. Holly talks about the merge, the walk of the Spirit. And we have a lot of word people, we have a lot of spirit people, but we need to come as one. Amen. And in freedom and truth, without persuading our ways. He's the persuader, we don't have to. And how we persuade is just rest in his peace with love. And that draws people like honey, because the world doesn't offer love. And they look and they go, "Something's different about you." And I don't jump on them and tell them about Jesus right away. I don't want them to run. Sometimes I do. If they start to walk away, then I'll put my arm and say, "Can I just pray for you?" Right. But he's raising us up. He's trying to get us in alignment with his will into the earth. We're the ambassadors. We are going to speak his word in truth without our opinions from the YouTube video we watched, where they told us about the theory that they heard from a secret source. Here's the thing. You want to know who my secret source is? The Holy Spirit. Did I have to get correction in that area? Absolutely. It's easy to get caught up in the nonsense. That's what it's out there for, to distract us off the oneness in God. Are you one of those ones who lay in bed at night and watch the videos of the latest and greatest and then can't sleep? And you're trying to figure out why? Why don't you put healing scriptures on? What you feed will grow. There's a spirit of fear that's been loosed into the earth. It's not touching me. But here's the thing. We have to build up our faith. We can't just say, well, I'm in faith. We have to build our faith, and how we do that is through the Word of God. We speak it, we know it, we live it, we breathe it until we're fully persuaded. Because every one of us is going to have a point, a tipping point, where we need to be fully persuaded. It's in every area of our lives. And so it's not, I'm not saying this to point out our weaknesses. I'm saying this to point out the plan designed by the Word of God to build our faith. So when you get pushed, will you fall back or will you stand in faith? God's word says. What's God's word saying to you right now? Behold, I can do all things. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen. And meanwhile, he's wooing us. It's so easy. You know, this thing right here, full of alerts, demanding my attention. I have to set boundaries. Otherwise, 2 hours go by, and I meant to actually look at that Bible study, or I meant to look at the Word. But because that thing popped up faster, it'll just take 1 second. 3 days later, I'm seeing a picture of SpongeBob with a beard, you know, and, you know, he's like tweaked out because he's in the bad report. I'm kidding, but is that some of you? Come on, go shave your beard. It's a new day. So there's tools designed to help us stay steadfast and immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I'm just going to talk about a couple tools because I was so blessed to know Edgar and Holly. I still know Holly and I still know Edgar. I got to serve in their ministry. And how that started out was, first of all, I was very shy. You probably can't believe that. But I was bound and broken. And the enemy loved it. My mind was taken out by drugs. I've had maybe 3 concussions. I've lost my memory twice. Like completely lost, not partial, completely. What's the enemy after? You know, it's kind of like, If there's an area that you've been hidden a lot of times, ask the Lord to show you what's really going on. When I was a child, I was diagnosed with a learning disability. I really thought I had a learning disability. Holly had to tell me I didn't. And then I had to go to the Lord and ask him, is that true? You know. Then I had to go back and break every word curse that every good-meaning teacher spoke over my life. And I replaced it with what God's word says. I do have the mind of Christ, and I do know all things. I just have to do this. There he is. There it is. Some of you have gone through severe attacks. You've got great calls on your life. But I want you to focus on the goodness of God instead of the great attacks. When you change positions and step into, I'm going to believe you and trust you. I know you created me for a purpose. I don't even understand how that works, but would you help me? Watch and see what happens. He'll show you if there's a door open. He'll show you if somebody's word cursed you. He'll show you the victory. He always points to victory. He is victory. So when I started serving for Holly and Edgar, the Lord asked me to do that. And it was one of the greatest things because, you know what? I wasn't serving Holly and Edgar. I was serving the Lord. I got to drag stuff in, set stuff up, tear down stuff. See, I like that scripture. You know, I used to sit and soak, and I'd be the last one out. I want to be the doorkeeper, of the house of God. I want the presence. I don't ever want to leave his presence. When you taste and see his goodness, you'll never, ever go back to the junk. And it's ever growing, his goodness. It's opening as we continue to move forward in him. So anyway, it's a great honor to serve the King. I remember when we used to meet in this prayer office, a beautiful prayer office on Higgins Road. I couldn't wait to get there. I just loved praying. And then everybody would leave and I'd stay. And sometimes I'd stay and sleep on the floor all night and just worship. But I noticed the toilets weren't getting cleaned. I don't like cleaning toilets. But I remember I felt the unction, I probably wouldn't even have noticed the toilet wasn't clean. But I noticed. And I knew I was supposed to clean that toilet. He didn't directly say, go clean the toilet. But I thought, oh, because this is the house of God. That office is the house of God. It belongs to him. It was dedicated. It's his. He picked it. And if he's got a dirty room, one of his servants is not doing their job in the position. They're in the wrong area. And so I didn't say anything. I'm cleaning the toilets. I just was like, oh, okay. So one night I stay late and I start cleaning that toilet and Jesus shows up. Yeah. I'm like, I had one of the most wonderful nights in that bathroom. He shows up where we least expect him. I love the dark places. He's there. He's there. Some of you are called to positions and you've been bucking, justifying. Some of you are in position, but you're slacking. Here's the thing. You were created for this moment, at this time, for this position. Promotion comes from cleaning toilets. From doing the simple things that he asks us to do when no one's looking. He trained me in this way of doing the things, ministering when everybody's having a good time, ministering when no one's looking, but he's there. And he's a rewarder. I can't tell you how much revelation has come when I'm on my knees working a project for him that I'll never get paid for in the natural. And I'm not looking to. But then, the spirit of performance sometimes wants to move ahead of God and get it done. I have to watch that. But I'm believing for the fullness of God in every area of our lives to be fully open and manifest all the time. I'm telling you. As darkness comes, his kingdom and his glory, there's no match. The game's over. The war is won. And I'm thinking of that parable with the workers in the field, where The guy showed up early and did all this work and got paid this much, and then the next group came midday and worked and got the same amount, and then the third group came and got the full pay. Listen, we're in full pay. This is the season of full pay. Every reward is being released, and it's at acceleration. You know, I remember fasting and praying for breakthroughs in areas, and then I see somebody just poof, they're on the third end. I'm so blessed to see that. I'm not like, oh, why did they? I'm like, yeah, hallelujah, go God. We're going to see the broken and the lost. They're coming. They're already coming through the doors. And he's doing it. We're not. He's doing it. We're the vessel, the channel of God. But he's doing it. He's wooing. He always is wooing. And as the chatter continues to get louder, some people are going to go like this, and they're going to cover their ears, and they're going to hear God say this way. And when that happens, they're going to come. And that it's instant. It's not going to be this long, 17 years of therapy. No. When God touches you, you're healed. When I started going to their services, I got healed of high cholesterol, asthma, which was a demon, allergies. I had a blood disorder, migraine. Did I say migraines? Migraines. He heals. Since then, I didn't know he was a healer, so I didn't take the healing, but now I take it. And here's the thing. It's a lot easier to get your healing instantly than wait. So how I learned that was I broke my ankle. I shattered my lower leg. Many years ago, I was trying to go to a conference that Holly had in Indiana. I had worked it all out, had sitters. The husband said yes. It was all a miraculous thing. And then I lived on a farm, and my little son wanted to take a hot lap on the snowmobile. And I told him to stay in the air in our farm field, and I didn't hear him. I was making spaghetti. I'll never forget this. And I thought, where is he? He's too far. So I got on this old 250 Skidoo with no suspension from the 70s. And I'm thankful that I just threw a helmet over my head. I didn't latch it. And I took off, and I went to find him, and he was way in the back 40. And I said, son, you're too far from home. You need to stay in the parameters. You know that. And so we come back through, and I thought, well, let's just take one hot lap, you know. In our field, and my son was a motocross racer, so we had these whoops, you know, and we take a hot lap, and I hit one of those bumps, and I go airborne. And I came down, I mean, I remember thinking, wow, I'm in the air. And I came down, and I shattered my lower leg and ankle, totally blew it out. And you know, they had to come get me in the field. And you know, I had surgery, but the surgery was done wrong. And so my leg, my ankle and my foot, they were fused together. And so I walked like this for a long time. I was believing for God for my healing. I'll never forget it. The pain was so bad. I'm laying in the hospital. They can't touch my leg. The pain is so bad. Every nerve is blown. I'm praying for the Lord to take me home, because it just was, I couldn't take it. Pain will make you do crazy things. And I'm praying for the Lord to take me home, and Edgar Bailey walks in. And he starts praying for me, and the pain lifts. I'm expecting my healing. I'm going to services. I'm on crutches. Well, first I was down for a long time, which I had to learn to allow people to help me, which is good because now people help me all the time. So anyway, I'm believing for my healing in my leg. I'm full of faith. I'm fully persuaded, but I'm not seeing it manifest. I have the greatest and the best people praying for me, blah, blah, blah. And then I have those certain Christian friends. Well, is there sin in your life? I don't know. Is there? Is that why I'm not healed? And then you go through this cycle. See, the enemy will use anybody he can to get you to go into doubt. It could be your best friend. It could be your husband, your wife, your kids. It could be anybody. Bless those, but speak truth when you realize you've been deceived. And so I'm trying to figure out why I'm not healed, and I'm trying to stay in faith. And I think a couple years went by. And one night, and it's to the point where I can, you know, we had moved, and we had this really long driveway, and I couldn't even, I had to get one of those carts, you know, like a go-kart, no, golf cart, and that's how I went and got my mail and stuff, because I just couldn't, I had no muscle strength, my leg was gone. And I'll never forget this. I'm at a conference, and I'm not expecting, I mean, I'm always expecting healing, but you grow weary. Was that a tingle? Is today the day? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Faint not. Faint not. I'm in this huge conference, way in the back, because I'm still shy and I don't like people. And I don't want any attention. And the Lord says to me, I'm watching this young kid way up in the front, this young, I love how the young people worship. You know, what happened to us? You know, they know how to do it. And they're not doing it for fake. They're doing it because they're in. And I'm watching this beautiful young girl up in the front worshiping. And I hear the Holy Spirit says, if you worship me, I'll heal you. So I hobble my way up to the front, and I'm standing next to this girl, and I'm watching her. She's bouncing, bouncing, bouncing. And I'm like, Jesus. 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 And I'm trying to worship him, and I can feel like lead weights on my feet, and I'm like, Jesus, I love you, Lord. And all of a sudden, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it loosed. My leg unlocked, and it loosed. I was like, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so why did it happen that day? I don't know, and I don't care. But I will not settle for brokenness in my life anymore. And since then, I broke my rib, pushing a safe, cracked my rib, and I'm like, the blood of Jesus, and I'm, you know, speaking healing scriptures over my rib, and I didn't get an instant healing. But I know it's easier to get your healing when it's fresh, before doubt, fear, worry, the Google report, and all that stuff gets placed into the earth and over you. So I'm like believing, believing, and I often get healed in services. I used to always get healed. And so I went to a service. I didn't get healed. I thought, standing in front of Walgreens, because if you have a broken rib, it's not comfortable. You can't sneeze. You can barely move. I'm standing in front of the Ace Bandage section in Walgreens because I'm like, okay, Lord, you didn't heal me. I'm taking it in my own hands. Wham, wham, wham. And I hear, I'm just reaching for like the bandage thing that you buy, and I hear the Holy Spirit say, really? I'm sorry. I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. Yes. Yes. I didn't buy it. I walked away, and I think I got healed that night in a service. Another time, I was in the middle of nowhere working on a project for the Lord, and a trailer got away from my hand, and it crushed my knuckle, and my knuckle went up here. Here. Now, this was, I don't know how many years ago, and it was bad. And you know, when your body goes into shock, it does things. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, and I knew this was attack because I was supposed to be away for the weekend with the Lord, and I was going to do a project to bless someone. And I'm like, the blood of Jesus, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I break this attack in the name of Jesus. You have no authority. And I'm spitting mad. I've never been spitting mad. I'm very laid back. And I can see the spit flying out of my mouth as I'm commanding my bone to go back into place. And I'm like, it was really, really, really bad. I knew it, but I wouldn't speak it. And in my mind, I'm like, this is really, really bad. But I'm like, the blood of Jesus, you are healed. You are whole. Jesus died for my healing, and I am claiming it right now. And I'm speaking it out loud. But meanwhile, my brain's going, you are far from a hospital. You have no medical insurance. What are you going to do? And I'm not responding to those fiery darts, the flesh. I'm like, no, I refuse to accept this. And so the pain was so bad, I get one of those hard ice packs that was all that was in this little freezer, you know, those little ice packs, those blue ones that do nothing but hurt when you put them on something that's sore. I put it on there, and I'm trying to breathe, you know, because my body's in shock, and I'm trying to breathe, just get my breathing regulated, because I really wanted to throw up, you know, because it was nauseating. It was bad. And I remember trying to send off a text or an email, Holly, please pray. I need prayer. And I didn't go into the details, and because I don't like to speak the bad stuff either, but I'm also not weird about saying I need help. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I will not allow this. This is a violation of the covenant. And I'm just, everything I know is just, everything that's in my heart is coming out. Everything that's in my heart is coming out, and it's in no order. It's randomly like machine gun, bum, 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 bum. And all of a sudden, I feel this. It felt like ice when it moves down your back. You ever have like somebody throw an ice cube? I felt this movement, and I looked, and I saw my joint, knuckle joint, get pushed back into place. And I went, and I covered it back up. But I knew it was the Lord, but it was like, whoa, I just saw that. You know, it was so cool. And I'm like, praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you. I praise you. I thank you for my healing. You're the one. You're the king. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And the thing hurt so bad, even though he was doing the healing and recreating, it still hurt. But I refused to acknowledge. I wasn't going there. I wasn't even camping there. I'm like, so I have to rehook up the trailer with this broken finger. Because I bought some lumber and it was the wrong stuff. I'm like, well, I can't really work. It's dark. I got the wrong stuff. I might as well go to Menards and get the right stuff. So I stop at the gas station. I need gas. And my finger's sore. I'm not saying it did not hurt, but I saw the joint go back. And as I was pumping gas, I needed to get a cup of ice. So I went inside. I said, could I get a cup of ice? How much? She, oh, my God, your finger, it's broke. I'm like, I break those words in the name of Jesus. She looked at me and went, blink, blink. You know, and I paid her the dime for the, and I take off and I go to Menards to do a return. And the guy's like, look at your hand. I'm like, I break those words in the name of Jesus. And I, you know, I'm exchanging lumber and so I'm like, well, I might as well eat after this because it's, you know, I'm tucked away at a cabin. There's not a lot there. And so I stop at this restaurant. I'm like, can I get a cup of ice? I look at your hand. I break those words in the name of Jesus. And I get back and I'm like, when I wake up in the morning, I look and my hand's completely healed, but there's a little bruising. And I'm like, Lord, what's up with the bruising? He goes, you didn't speak to that. So I commanded all the bruising, all the internal bleeding to be healed in the name of Jesus, and I spoke life over that, and I was healed. But I'm going to tell you something. For the next week, I kept banging that hand into stuff. You know, it's like, devil, really? No. So listen, healing, sometimes you got to go for it. You know, Holly did this healing series. It's on the table. It's life. Let me just talk to you about that CD table. Everything she knows is on those sets, okay? She sits with the Lord, not for 1 minute, not for 5 minutes, for days, hours, weeks, years, months, almost 40 years. Her mind is analytical. God gave her that mind. Mine's simple. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. Hers is, how does this work and why? Because she likes to release it to people to help them in the areas that they need help. So that you can give it away and help the others. It's line upon line, fresh from the throne. Weapons of warfare. Weapons of breakthrough. Gold from heaven. Food from heaven. It's like medicine for your soul. You know, how many of you have vitamins on your shelves? Oh, this for this, this for this, this for this. And then you get sidetracked and you forget. Or somebody else tells you about the next greatest vitamin. So then you go buy that one. Listen. I know whatever ails you, there's a cure. It's Jesus. And for me, I like Cliff Notes. Let me just have the short version. I love her teachings. They have helped me tremendously. And I'm not, you guys know this, but some don't. Some of you have been to the seminars. We watch God birth people, their destinies, open up through some of our seminars. The prayer seminar. We love to see intercessors just bloom and grow, and there they are. You know, they serve us, they serve others, you know. We're not into control. We're into giving the goods that God gives to equip the saints. I'm not going to talk too much on that, but I just want to encourage you. If you're struggling, is it emotional healing? You want breakthrough? Manifesting the life force of God. I'm saying, gold. You can get it on CDs or you can get it on a website. So, oh, it's noon. High noon. You guys tired?
No.
How'd you guys sleep last night? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We're placing a draw on you. And I pray right now, during this next break, we yield to the call of the Quiet One wooing us. I pray for the worshipers to worship you, Lord. I pray a hedge of protection around all of us, that as we continue to go and grow and leave some of the rubbish behind, that we enter in true north in you. Some of us will go sit on a bench or back in our room, and I pray that, Holy Spirit, you help us ask the questions that you want us to know. I pray for the ones that are still struggling, that feel like there's a veil over them, they can't see here. I pray for your wind to blow and clarity to come in the name of Jesus. And for those that used to hear and can't hear, I pray that they ask you, Lord, where was I before all this started? And then help them unravel from the entanglement of the cares of the world. Holy Spirit, help us stay in a place of peace and rest in you. Continue to guide us and lead us into all truth. Lord, we give you glory and praise and honor. We love you. We love what you're doing. And we are expecting whatever you have. We love you, and I see increase and great expectations. But I don't see it one way. I'm seeing it two ways. I'm seeing it as a oneness. I'm seeing hands connecting with the Father. I'm seeing the blind eyes open. The hungry are being fed. Continue, Father. We bless you for all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.